Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We've been talking about chapter 13 and about the parables that we are going to encounter in chapter 13. And those parables will be the changing point, the hinge of the book of Matthew. Because now we're at the end of the Galilean ministry of Jesus. In fact, we're at the end, it's crumbled. And Jesus is sending out his disciples. In Matthew chapter 13, we will have the parables that switch Jesus' ministry. His ministry is going to be completely different on the other side of this chapter. You'll never hear the words, the kingdom of heaven is at hand again. It's not going to be that way. Things are changing. Israel, the nation, has pretty much rejected their Messiah. And he knows they will reject him. Now, they haven't done it officially yet, but they will. So now he tells his disciples that he's going to talk in parables, or they ask him and he tells them why he's going to talk in parables. But the first parable he gives is an introduction to the parables, and it tells us about the other parables that are coming up, why he's giving them, and so on and so forth. So the first parable is what is called the parable of the sower. This is the parable of the sower. Remember, the sower in this parable is God. And you'll see that as we read through it. I'll read the parable in a moment here. And it goes from 13:1 through 23 in completion. We'll only go to verse 9 because there's going to be another side of it. First, Jesus is going to give the parable, then he's going to explain it. So we will have his explanation of what this parable means. We don't have to go out looking for some deep hidden meaning because he gives the explanation. I called it the parable of the soils because the soils are the key to this parable. The soils are the reception that nation Israel gives to their Messiah. And there are different receptions for him. So there are different soils in the parable. Some fell beside the road. And that would be, beside the road would be the paths that go through the fields. You've seen the paths that are hard. Gosh, we had one when I was a kid. We used to walk to, I live kind of on the edge of Lincoln, Nebraska, and we used to walk to town and there was a path that you could see all the way. It had been weeds that high on either side of it, and it was hard as a rock. You couldn't get a seat in there if you had a hammer. And that's what these first set of seeds are going to fall on. And the second fell in rocky places. Now, this is where there is some soil, but it's not very deep. Very common, in fact, in Palestine, where the ground is fertile and yet it's very shallow. The rock and the shale come up to a very high level under the dirt, so you can't get a good root system. Some fell among the thorns, and that's the ground where the thistles predominated. And of course, thistles are very difficult to get around when you're trying to pick your wheat. And some fell on the good soil. The seed is God's word, of course, in the parable. That's what we'll be talking about. The parable is an introduction to the rest of the parables. It gives no new revelation, but it tells us about the parables that will give new revelation. For example, in verse 3, he says, in chapter 13, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and so on and so forth. Well, that's ordinary enough, but if you look at the parable, say, of the mustard seed, in verse 31, he presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. You notice he added something there. He said, this is a parable that's going to give you information about the kingdom of heaven. He didn't do that with the first one because there is no new information. It's an introduction. It goes all the way through the leaven. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. So on and so forth, all the way through the parables. They will be describing the kingdom of heaven. And this is the same kingdom that the Jews have been looking for since Old Testament times. It's the same kingdom that they expected, that Messiah has come to establish. Only now, they're going to reject it. So as I read this, keep this in mind, and we'll see how this parable of the soils plays out. We'll start in chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, that day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and a large crowd gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depths of soil, but when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So that's the parable of the soils. Yeah, see how it goes along there. We got some beside the road, some on the rocky places, some in the thorns, some on the good soil. And now we're going to see what all this means. What does all this mean? Remember, the central focus of this whole chapter, actually, is the mental attitude of the people of Israel. The mental attitude of the people of Israel. That's what this is all about. It's not about, well, these are believers and these aren't, and these are believers and those aren't. People argue about that constantly, and it's nonsensical, because that's not the point of the parable. Now, Jesus is about to send his disciples out to proclaim, and this proclamation is going to come until the kingdom comes. So we're still proclaiming. We're proclaiming a different gospel message, although it will change very soon, as soon as Israel officially rejects their Messiah and the church is set up. We proclaim a gospel message that Christ died for our sins. Well, they couldn't proclaim that message because Christ hadn't died yet. So they're preparing. Their job is to prepare for the kingdom. So here's Jesus at the end of his ministry. He's at the end of his ministry in Palestine. He wants them to know what to expect from nation Israel. As they go out to nation Israel and they start proclaiming that he is the Messiah, he wants the disciples to know what they're going to hear, what they're going to be up against. And if you'll notice in those parables, it doesn't look too good. Or in that parable, there's only one good soil and three bad soils. And this is just to tell them how they're going to be received. Nothing more. He's not telling them how to distinguish believers from unbelievers. That's the last thing. In fact, we will get to the parable of the mustard seed. Anyway, he's going to say, when the man sows good seeds in his field, in verse 36, and his neighbors who are evil, the sons, and they come up and throw tares. Now, tare is a weed that looks like wheat, but it isn't. So having tares in your wheat is a bad thing. And they're hard to get out because they look a lot like wheat. But the point I want to make on this is not that. It's verse 41. It says, the Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. So what he's saying is, when will we find out who the believers are and who they're not? Tomorrow? Can you tell if somebody's a believer or not believer just by looking at them? No. No, they won't be separated until the end of the age. You can't know who is or is not a believer. That is a job for the angels who come and gather the wheat. And Jesus is going to tell those angels, these are the believers, those are the unbelievers. The point I want to make, I guess, is that most people take this parable of the soils and they try to make sense out of who's a believer and who isn't, you know, by what they're doing or what they're not doing. No, that's not what this parable has in mind at all. It's just saying, you're going out into nation Israel. You're going to proclaim my message. This is the response you're going to get. Now, some of those on the hard soil, do you suppose they could change later? Of course they could. What's to stop them? It's not a this is a believer, that's a believer, this isn't thing. It's just this is what to expect when you're out sowing your seeds in until the kingdom. And Jesus is about to, well, as Ellison says in Parables in the Eye of a Storm, he's about to scuttle the kingdom offer. You know what you do when you scuttle a ship? You sink it. Jesus is about ready to scuttle his kingdom offer because Israel is rejecting him, and he is the Messiah. And Jesus interprets this parable three times himself, so we can't miss out. It's recorded three, I mean, he explains it, it's recorded three times. Now, we'll look at the one in Matthew, since the one in Matthew is our target text. And that is the explanation of the parable. Same sower. This is the same parable, just looking at it in a different way. The hard soil. Who do they represent? They represent the religious leaders of Israel. They're the Pharisees. They won't have anything to do with this new religion stuff. Don't want anything to do with it. You know, we're Jews, we're Pharisees, we're the leaders of the nation, and we don't want any part of your new religion. The rocky places. These are the guys, they grow a little, and then the sun comes and they wither. What does that mean? Well, they like the fun. They like the parties. Hey, this guy can turn water into wine, man. I'm going to follow him around. you know, they have a good time, and he heals sick people. He does miracles. He's fun to watch. But then when the persecution sets in, that's the son, boom, they're gone. So, oh, I remembered. I had to do something at home. You know, those kind. The next bunch, the ones that come up in thistles, the thistles are going to represent the temporal worries. You know, I would like to help out, but I need a new car. I need a new this or a new that. I can't spend any time because if I don't work extra at my job, I won't get this promotion and this raise. And then, you know how it goes. You just get caught up in the things of the world. And that's how all of us pretty much are. And they worried about temporal worries and they fail to take the long view. Those are the ones who fail to take the long view. Now the disciples, they're the ones from the good soil, they are prepared to receive the seed, and they're prepared by humility. These Pharisees, they had no humility. None at all. I mean, they were, hey, I'm the man, you know. There's no humility there. But the disciples, having humility, are prepared. They have good ground and they produce a bountiful harvest. But that's the interpretation of this parable. Now this one is just an introduction parable. You can also find it in Mark 13 through 20. If you want to write this down. And Luke 8, 11 through 15. Not much point in reading the same thing three times. So we'll go into a little detail. First, the soil that fell beside the road, the hard spots. Now, the four soils are the four receptions. As I've said before, seed is the word of the kingdom, verse 19, where it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. And that's right at the beginning of the parable of the sower. It makes it very clear that the seed is the word of the kingdom. The fruit in verse 23. Now this one we have to use our heads on a little bit, but it's not too hard. It's pretty easy. It says, and the one on whom seed was thrown on good soil, this is the man who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth 100-fold, 60, and 30. That is an explanation of what was sown. You know, seeds bear what they are. You know, to throw down a sunflower seed and a potato doesn't grow. Sunflower grows. He's just saying that if you give them information about the kingdom and they're receptive to it, then they'll get more and more and more and more. And the same way with us in the Bible. If you look at your Bible and you say, I want to know what that says. Well, you're going to have to work at it. Just like any gardener or farmer, it's going to have to work at getting his crops. And if you want to, there it is. So the seed is the knowledge, the same thing that he is giving out. Knowledge of the kingdom. So I give you a little knowledge of the kingdom. You run home and study for 42 and a half hours this week, and you come back and you have more knowledge than you left with. See what I mean? I'm being facetious, of course, but you get the idea. That's what the seed is. It's the knowledge. So I'll give you a few reasons I take that view. It's not really disputed too much. But it's just more revelation and understanding. This is the interpretation that fits the parable the best, because the word of the kingdom had been proclaimed already, hadn't it? Then we said we're at the end of the ministry, and it's been proclaimed to Israel by John, by Jesus, and by the disciples. All three have already proclaimed the word of the kingdom. And the parable notes something, that Israel is blind and kind of dull. They don't get it. They don't get the picture. Because only one out of three of those seeds get the picture in the first place and want to go on and get more, even. However, some of them do. So that's something to remember. When you're out throwing your seeds around, and we should throw seeds around just like they did, only ours are Christ died for your sin seeds. And you throw them everywhere. You don't care. You're going to try and pick somebody who's more likely to believe than somebody else. You might as well go to Las Vegas and try to win your life earnings out there. You know, it's not going to work. It doesn't work. We throw our seeds everywhere. I always mention Glenn Govic. Everybody he met got a seed out of him. Probably 20 or 30 of them if you met him 20 or 30 times. But, you know, we cast the seed everywhere. And the key is on the mental attitude of the person who gets it, his reception. Is he going to believe it? If a person believes it, says, yeah, that's great. I want some more of this. Then he's going to go on and get some more. Otherwise, he won't. And so who's saved, who isn't saved? I'm not going to go into that, because the parable is telling us throw your seeds everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. Because God is going to decide at the end of the age, he's going to send forth his threshers, and they'll be angels, and he's the one that's going to know at the end of the age, not us. We won't know before then. I mean, we can make a good guess if we, you know, if I found out Ruth was an unbeliever at the end of the age, I'd have a heart attack and die again, I think. So, Israel is dull and blind. Some of them did, though, understand. And that's how it's always going to be, through all the way until the kingdom is established. All the way to the end of the age, it's going to be some understand. It's called the remnant. God will always keep a remnant. Always some who believe. Now our group gets smaller because our times are changing. Nobody believes that nonsense anymore. But you know what? There's going to be a remnant. There's one right here. I see him. And you guys go around throwing your seeds, and I'll go around throwing my seeds. Maybe our remnant will get bigger, and maybe it won't. That's God's decision to make. Our job is to throw out the seed. Look at 11:25. Back in Matthew 11:25. And I bet those Pharisees were about to have apoplexy when he said this. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. So here's this Pharisee with his phylactery bouncing, you know, and all his garments on and everything. He's so proud. He's about to pop out of his clothes. And Jesus says that he doesn't know what he's talking about, but these little kids do. So, you know, I have a strange sense of humor, but I thought that was funny. The view of the fruit fits the view of the fruit being knowledge of the kingdom fits for another reason as to why he spoke in parables. And that's in parables in 13:10 through 17. And we'll get to those. Because from the ones who failed to listen to it, who wouldn't take it, didn't want it, or they took it and abused it, it would be taken away. We saw that in 13:12 through 15. Remember 13:12? Where it says, "For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him." Remember what we called that? When you refuse to accept God's word, and as a result of that, God makes his word harder for you to understand. Anybody remember? Judicial blindness, we call it. Because he says, if you won't listen to me, I'm going to make it so you can't listen to me. So if you won't, I'm going to make it so you can't. So on the other hand, the disciples, they knew. Why? Because they were conditioned to receive the word of the kingdom. Their soil was really well conditioned. And normally in Israel at that time, from what I read in the Unger's Bible dictionaries and things like that, they did not prepare their soil. They just broadcast seed. And they didn't, you know, plow and all of that stuff. Anyway, this is judicial blindness. The disciples asked the question. They said, "How come you're speaking in parables?" And he said, "Because I'm making these people blind so that they can't see." And in verse 12, we have the first half of the verse being the work of God and the second half of the verse being the work of Satan. In verse 12, where it says, "Forever has to him more shall be given." So that's the work of God, but whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. The work of Satan. Not God doesn't take wisdom from people. He allows Satan to do it. Remember, you cannot put sin on God. You cannot blame God for sin ever, ever, ever. He may allow sin, but he will never, ever promote sin. So the seed that fell on the rocky places now, that's up here, they're the party goers. They like the healing, the miracles, the parties. Remember when they recruited Matthew, they had Matthew threw a big party at his house that night, and everybody was there, and the Pharisees were peeking in the door, being just shocked because they weren't doing the ceremonial washing routines that they usually went through before they ate. And the rocky places is the little depth places, and it couldn't support healthy growth. Just as we said before, they come up a little, the sun shines, that means a little persecution, and plop, they fall over. John 6:66 is a perfect example of this. Look over there at John 6:66. It says, as a result of this, and that was Peter's confession of faith, and they knew they were going to have big trouble coming up. And they said many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So yeah, they liked the wine. They liked getting healed. They liked watching the miracles. It was like fireworks show. Everything was cool, but here come the cops, you know. It's like kids having a party in the woods. Of course, I would have never done anything like that when I was younger, but, you know, when the cops get there, it's kind of time to scoot. And that's what those guys are like. It's the same thing. They liked it. They were having a really good time. And then a little persecution sets in and, oh boy, I got something I have to do at home. And then you have the thorny soil. They're the ones that are worried about temporal stuff. Always got their mind on temporal stuff. Remember the rich young ruler in Luke? You remember that story, don't you? Where he comes up to Jesus and says, what do I have to do to get into your kingdom? Jesus said, it's easy, just give away everything you have. Guy, his face fell and he turned around and walked away. And Jesus remarked on that. It's in Luke 18:24 if you want to find it or write it down. It says, and Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. Doesn't say it's impossible. It says it's difficult. It's hard. This guy was so wrapped up in his material wealth, that's all going to burn. It's all going to burn before we ever see the kingdom and eternity. That's going to be burned and forgotten. If I have a Rolex or if I have a Timex, they're both going to burn when we get to eternity. So what the heck's the difference? Why do we spend so much of our time on temporal things when we all have Bibles and we all have computers and we have things to study the Bible with and we're worried about getting the latest model car? And we're all like that to some degree, I would imagine. I know I am, but you know, some people carry it to a higher degree than others, but that's just the way it is. There's a lot of thistle in this world, and there's more all the time. Turn on your television if you want to see thistle. Go to a movie. It gets worse all the time. You're listening to a guy who grew up in the 60s, so I know what thistle is. And I, you know what I think about that thistle now when I read my Bible? Scubalon. Anybody remember scubalon? It's the Greek word for dung. It's the word Paul uses when he talks about his life in the past. And the seed that fell on the good ground, they got the fruit. And the fruit refers to further understanding. That's what they were casting out. They were I want to tell you about the kingdom, and so you can learn about the kingdom. And to these guys, they get more information on the kingdom. Seeds produce more seeds. That's the bottom line. And the word received opens a way for the word to be available to receive. Did you all get that? The more of God's word that you receive, the more you will be able to receive. If you didn't know about the Old Testament and the Jews and how Matthew was thinking when he wrote this book to nation Israel, you couldn't get anything out of it. You have to have a basis for it or a teacher. I remember once I decided to be a Christian. I was kind of tired of the fast life, you might call it. And I went down and bought a Bible and I opened it up to Matthew and I started reading it. And no, JC, did you do that too? Did you end up being so scared you didn't know what to do and then threw it away? Same thing I did. You can't make sense out of it. I didn't have a teacher, I didn't have any background, and I start reading the book of Matthew, and you know, I'm going to be damned for eternity. So I went and lost a few more years before I finally, somebody explained how it really works. So from this point on, now, each of the parables is going to be new truth about the kingdom. Remember, this one didn't say the kingdom is like or the kingdom is similar to, or, but from now on, they're all going to say the kingdom is similar to this or that. So we'll be starting on the new information about the kingdom next time. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this section in the book of Matthew. And even though it's a difficult section, we'll admit it and be honest about it, but we'll put all our abilities together to pray for each other and to help each other, and we'll figure it out. And then it'll give us a basis to understand even more of your word. What a wonderful system you've developed. Father, thank you in Christ's name. Amen.